see each and every one of you. I wonder how many first-time visitors do we have this morning. If this is your first time, would you raise your hand? And we can, okay, all right. We'll be sure that we give you a card to fill out, keep record of your visit, and you're our honored guest this morning. And we do have some others visiting with us, and you as well are our honored guests. We thank you for being with us this morning. Got a couple things I want to mention to you before we proceed in the service. Brother Joe went for his heart catheterization on Friday, and I believe there was 92-97% before blockage in one of the valves, and they went in to see what to do, and doctor said that I believe it was reduced down to like a 5%. Is that right, Miss Lynn? 7%, and nothing had to be done. So look what God can do.
Amen.
And I tell you what did that. Prayer did that.
Yes.
Prayer did that. Standing in the gap for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we were out there in the room, and we prayed a couple times, and we just received that great report. So we praise the Lord for that. I do want you to remember Miss Glenda Henderson this morning. She's at home battling a kidney stone, and she's battled them before from what I've heard, but this time she says it's like a mountainous one. It's big as a grapefruit, she said. That's the way she feels anyways. Those who have battled those know what she's talking about, and so just pray for her. And there are several others who need your prayers. Brother James Townsend is at the hospital, been there for a few days, breathing issues. Miss Shirley had said that they had drew several ounces of, I believe it was, of fluid off of his lungs, and so he can breathe better now. But doctor said if all goes well, he'll be released in the morning, and then they'll be able to go home. And so we praise the Lord for that relief upon Brother James. And of course, remember Miss Shirley and her cancer treatments, and the others who have cancer treatments going on, battling different elements of the flesh. I know we all have things we battle with, and this morning I wonder if anybody has any unspokens. If you have any unspokens this morning, prayer requests, just raise your hand. We're not always at liberty, or nor do we feel at liberty or feel good about sharing our burdens. Sometimes the burdens are so heavy we just don't want to talk about them. Maybe reason being because we would probably cry our way through them talking about them. But God sees every hand that was raised, knows every burden, everything you care about, He's fully aware of. So my prayer this morning is that we would just give Him our attention for the next few minutes and see what He has for us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we just take a moment to relax in You and take in, Lord, the environment, the good people of God that's surrounding us, the sun, Lord, that we see shining through the windows of the church, reflecting upon Your blessings, God, of recent days and of days gone by in the past. Father, this morning we ask You to cleanse us and forgive us for our failures and shortcomings. Lord, I pray that You would, as You forgive and cleanse, that You would fill and with the Holy Spirit, Lord, empower each and every one of us, Lord, this morning to do Your will and Your purposes. God, we're thankful for the report of Brother Joe. I pray that You'd continually have Your hand upon their family and their lives. Dear Lord, we do pray for Brother James this morning, and we pray for Miss Shirley and all the others who were in the hospital and received word that Miss Barbara Ann had gone in and she's back home, and yet Miss Barbara Anderson is battling kidney stones as well, and Miss Glenda. And Father, the prayer list just continues and continues. But we're reminded, Lord, that we weren't meant to fully bear these burdens because You're here to help us. And Lord, You're the one whose shoulders are strong and mighty to bear these burdens fully. So we commit them to You, pray, Lord, that you would be with each and every individual. And Father, this morning we pray for your touch upon the choir. We pray for your musical leadership upon Brother Allen. And when it comes time to open your Bible, I pray, Lord, that you would help me get out of the way. Use me, Lord, as an instrument. God, speak to hearts this morning. And I pray as a result of this service, we'll be drawn closer to you. Decisions would have been made, and we would leave with a spring in our step and assurance in our heart while we're here and what we should be doing. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Choir, would you stand? Church, would you stand with me this morning? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in his house this morning. We have victory in Jesus. If you'll turn over to page number 120, we're going to sing about that this morning. Page 120, Victory in Jesus. All right, everyone sing now.
I heard it all.
Visiting with us, you are a special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship today. And please pray for the children's home. They are in Gainesville today. Brother Snyder is preaching there, children's home singing. And it's going to be quite a day and quite a week out there in revival at, is that Pond Fork? Pond Fork. And so please remember them. And it'll be a great day. It'll be a very exhausting day for them. So please remember them as they travel. And pray for them through the week, and I pray Brother Snyder this morning as he brings the message there. And we're looking forward to a great day here at Calvary today as well. Amen. Choir, if you'll be here with me this evening, let's just make it 5:30 for choir practice, and then we have a big day coming up over at Floyd Road. Been talking with Brother Byron. We're looking forward to that. So you just pray for the choir as we make ourselves ready to go over there for their Jubilee. That is on the 27th on a Tuesday evening. We look forward to being there, and that'll be a great night. Brother Craig Edwards will be preaching. We're going to be joining the Floyd Road Choir for that night, have a little Jubilee Choir for that Tuesday evening. We're going to be joining them, and we're looking forward to that. But you please pray for us as we try and get ourselves ready for that, and we look forward to that. Please pray for Brother David. He's unable to be here with us today, but Brother Randy doing a tremendous job, and we appreciate him. He wears a lot of hats here at Calvary. A lot of times we don't see him. He's usually in the sound room, does a great job there, and I appreciate his spirit. And I've worked with Brother Randy for a long time, and I've traveled around and sung and played, but I appreciate him. It's great to have Miss Catherine with us this morning as well. But please. please, let's just pray, Lord, just give us a great day in the house of the Lord. Amen. Next week, I believe, is COU and Brotherhood, so please remember that. Next week is our third Sunday, so next Sunday at 4, but that is next week, so please remember that. Of course, Wednesday night, Bible study and prayer meeting, service tonight at 6. So let's go to the Lord in word of prayer, pray for pastor this morning, pray for the offering tonight. If you get a chance after service, you might want to take a gander down the hallway for the Ceylon's class, first class on the left. Been a lot of work gone into that class this week. I won't say any more. You just need to take a little trip down the hall and run into Brother Ceylon's class, first class on the left. It looks wonderful. I know they're proud of it. Father, we love you and praise you. And Lord, how we thank you that we have an opportunity to come into the house of the Lord. Lord, that is more than words. That is our heart. Lord, many people don't have that opportunity today, some because of sickness. Lord, others, maybe they just didn't have the desire. But Lord, I am so thankful that, Lord, that I have a desire to come to your house. And Lord, I have an opportunity and I have the health, the strength to be able to be here. And Lord, we thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that is in this place. We have a freedom, Lord, to worship you and to praise you and to thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Surely this morning when we sing, "Look What God Has Done For You," Lord, we sing that from our heart. Lord, you've been so good to us, and Lord, we just want to praise you for it all. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Lord, many stand in need, Lord, of your touch still upon their life. And Lord, I pray that you touch them, Lord, whether it be physically, spiritually, emotionally, maybe financially. Lord, whatever the need is, you are able. Lord, thank you for our Bible study this morning. We realize, Lord, from your word that you are able to do all things. Lord, we just surrender them all to you this morning, for we are not able to do them. You are. Lord, I pray that you'd, again, Lord, be with our pastor. Speak through him, Lord, what we need to hear today. Touch the offering now, Lord, both the gift and the giver. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to be with Calvary. Have your hand upon this church. Lord, I pray that you'd be with this community. Lord, bring people to the house of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that if there'd be one here today that doesn't know you, Lord, as their Savior, Lord, may this be the day that they'd realize that. And today would be the day of salvation. We'll praise you and thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished here today. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
appreciate the singing this morning. I appreciate again Brother Randy on the piano keyboard. I'm glad you're here this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be alive and it's good to be saved. What I mean by being saved is knowing Jesus as my personal Savior. And I hope you are too. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. And we want to share with you a simple message, yet is very complex to achieve, and very complex to achieve because we're human, and being human, we're needy creatures, aren't we? We're creatures of habit and routine, and I appreciate the Lord's unconditional love. Let's bow for prayer, and then I want to read from verse number 1. Out of Hebrews 6. Father, we come one more time in no other name but Jesus' name. Lord, no doubt you're here. We know that where two or three are gathered. Father, even when it's just a single person, we know that if we're saved, you're in us. You're always there at all times, beholding all things. Lord, but for the next few moments, I pray that the message would be simple, Lord. It would be direct, Lord. I pray, Father, that by the end of the service this morning, we would have just a little more light upon our pathway concerning which steps we ought to take to enjoy life more and receive your best. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 6. Notice verse number 1. Says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. Keep that phrase in your mind, those four words. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And then verse number 3 says, and this will we do if God permit. This morning I want to talk to you for a few moments on this subject. Let us go on. Let us go on. And notice if you would, he says, let us go on unto perfection. The word perfection here doesn't mean without sin, doesn't mean without failure or fumble. But the word perfection means maturity, means to be mature, means to abound in wholeness. It means fruitfulness. It means to go and to be further along in character, in body, in mind than you were a time ago. Let us go on unto perfection. And again, we know that none of us are perfect. We know that we don't hit the bullseye of God's holiness perfectly every day, but we desire to know Him more, and we desire to be a blessing. We desire to be parents who serve the Lord, and who we desire to be spouses who are uplifting and encouraging. We desire to move on in many ways, don't we? So this morning, I just want to mention a few things out of these verses. And I hope they'll be a blessing and encouragement to you as they were to me as I was looking at them. But first, I believe we're to mature or go on unto fruitfulness as individuals. But I also believe we're to move on and go on to maturity and fruitfulness corporately, not only as individuals and as we pertain to our own roles in life, spouse, parent, but also corporately. What I mean corporately as in the body of Christ. I believe we're to move on and go on. I believe that Calvary Baptist Church even were to not stay at a place of comfortability, although I love to be comfortable. But God is always wanting us to press on and move ahead and reach higher elevations of His goodness in life. And I believe that as far as this local body here in Powder Springs, Calvary, I believe that Calvary hasn't achieved everything God wants him or her, the body, to achieve. There are new heights and new levels we need to climb and go. And so I believe corporately, I believe individually, we need to go on. Now, there's three steps we're to take in order to successfully go on individually, corporately. And I believe this pertains to various areas of our lives. And so, number one, I want you to notice in verse one, if we're to go on, number one, we need to leave some things behind. Leave some things behind. Notice what he says in verse one. He says, therefore. And we know that every time you see the word therefore, it's there for a reason. And he's reflecting back on chapter number 5 in verse number 11 down through verse number 14. But he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So if we're going to go on to maturity and fruitfulness in various areas of life, we're going to have to leave some things behind. He said, again, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. What is he talking about? He's talking about those elementary learnings of Christ. How to be saved, and you must be baptized, not which is equivalent to salvation, but to portray what happened with your salvation experience. Reading your Bible and praying. We know all of those things. But it's time that we go on. We build on those things. But he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity. And if we're going to do that, number one, there needs to be a leaving of some things behind. Look in chapter number 5 and verse number 11. He's addressing the people who have not left some things behind and who have not left their comfort zone. Look in verse 11 of chapter 5. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Look at verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. What is he saying? Well, he's saying back in chapter 5, verse 12, that there were some that should be further along than they are. He said that they've been saved for a good period of time, and they ought to be teachers by that time, is what he's giving reference to. He's saying, but because they were stagnant and because they chose not to leave some things behind and forge along, he says, I got to go back and use milk towards you again. He said, trying to digest meat was too much. You didn't apply yourself, is what he's saying. And because of that, there is a stun of growth. He's saying we need to leave some things behind. And when the writer was talking to these Christians and writing the book of Hebrews, he knew that in order for them to leave behind the elementary teachings of Christ, the milk of the Word, and go on to the meat of the Word, they would have to leave their comfort zone. Look again at verse number 12 of chapter 5. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers? He said, by now you should be teaching me the word. He said, but there was a comfort zone you were staying in. He said there was opportunity to grow, there was opportunity to mature, but you did not take advantage of that. So he says that you are in a place of comfortability. He said you ought to be a teacher by now. You ought to be further along. And let me just say this morning. If we're all going to go on as individuals and corporately as a church, then we need to leave some things behind, and that is we need to leave behind some comfort zones. We're never going to be able to forge ahead and receive everything God wants us to receive and while we're dwelling in our own perfect comfort zones. You know what I'm talking about, those areas where you can do just enough and get by. listen, I'm not subject to that. I struggle with comfort zones, and I struggle with ruts and trying to reel and rock my way out of things and move ahead individually as a person. And then, you know, as the pastor of this church, your pastor, it's difficult at times. But at the end of the day, as we look into the mirror of God's word and we look into our physical mirrors of life and we look at ourselves, we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we where we should be? Is there more in life to achieve for God? Am I in a place of a comfort level which is holding me back? We see this morning that if we're going to go on, we need to leave some things behind. It's kind of like, I want to give you an illustration, it's kind of like someone who had just had a baby, and you go and you see them at the hospital, and, you know, they're receiving their milk, and then let's just say 5 years, 6 years, let's throw a big number out there, let's say 10 years down the road. You go visit with the family at home, and wouldn't it be unnatural if you walk in there and that same child is still on the bottle? I mean, you would ask yourself, what is this 10-year-old doing still drinking a bottle of milk? I mean, they're supposed to be eating, and they're supposed to be going to McDonald's and eating chicken nuggets by now. It's only natural. But sometimes in life, we develop these places where we're in a comfortable rut, and that's really an oxymoron. Listen, those are things that can't be at the same time. There is no rut that's comfortable because we're either moving ahead or we're falling behind. We're drifting. So he says in verse number 12, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, nor become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." If we're going to move ahead in life, then we need to leave some things behind, and that's those comfort zones. But there's a second thing I want to mention. Not only the first step in order to move on, we have to leave some things behind. But number two, in verse two, we need to build on the things that's settled. Build on the things that's settled. Look in verse number two. I'm sorry, look back in verse number 1, then 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Then he says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. What is he talking about? He's talking about building on the things that's already settled. In verse 1 he says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. He's talking about that's how a person gets saved, is by repentance and faith. And so he says we don't have to, that doesn't have to be our subject matter every time we meet is how to get saved. We know how to get saved. He says in verse number 2, and of the doctrine of baptism. He said we know about baptism, how that it publicly displays the inward change of a believer when Jesus moves in. He says we don't have to spend all of our time talking about that, and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. He says, we've learned those things years ago. He says, there is so much that we haven't learned. He says, let's not detach from those things. We're not going to disrespect those things. Those things have their place in our life and church. How to get saved and baptism, and then the resurrection, laying on of hands and eternal judgment. Those things have their place. He said, but there's so much more that we haven't achieved. He said, there's so much more that we haven't gained. We're so wrapped up with these elementary things that we've lost some things in our momentum. He said, we need to move on, and in order to move on, we need to build on the things that settled, not forsake those principles of the Bible. He said, but build on them. In other words, we don't need to get saved again. Once saved, always saved. We don't need another baptism. We believe in one baptism. We don't need to talk about eternal judgment or the resurrection of the dead every time we meet, or it doesn't need to be the forefront of our conversation. We know that there is so much more in the knowledge of Jesus. We're not forsaking those things. We're not casting those things or casting a shadow on those things, but we're trying to build on those things. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. He said that foundation has been laid already. We know once saved, always saved. We know it's by repentance and faith. We know baptism is an ordinance of the church. And we know about eternal judgment. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. We know those things, but let's go beyond those things. That's what he's saying. And so if we're going to move on individually and move on as a church, we need to leave some things behind, leave some comfort zones behind. And also we need to build on some things. You see, this morning we don't need another Savior. We don't need another baptism. We know those things. We're not minimizing those things, but we're appreciating those things, and we're building on those things, and we're going further in the knowledge of God. We don't need no new things concerning those things. I go a step further and say that we don't need another marriage to build on the marriage you have. You don't need another mom and dad. Appreciate the ones you have. We don't need another church. Let's work at the one we have. He's talking about building on some things. And he's talking about going on and to receive the things that God has for the believers. Again, verse number 1 and 2 is giving reflection back on chapter 5 for those who were still on the milk and not have yet transitioned over to the meat of the word. I want to say that, you know, milk only lasts for so long, and you're going to be hungry very soon. But someone who is able to digest meat and take in those meats and potatoes, those kind of things allow you to really grow and be satisfied for a long period of time. And yet we are living in a world and we go to church and other people have their churches they go to where there's so many people in want and needy. Why is that? And listen, arguing and bickering and fighting. Praise God, there's not a lot of that that goes on here, but in a lot of places there is. Maybe it's because they're on the milk of the word and they're not choosing to transition to the meat of the word. I want to say this morning that we're to build on the things that settled. Turn, if you would, for a moment to Ephesians chapter number 4. We're talking about moving on, going on unto maturity, unto fruitfulness. Paul in Ephesians chapter number 4, in like manner, talks about the same thing. Notice, if you would, in verse number 11 of Ephesians 4. He says in Ephesians 4, verse number 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. In verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints. or for the maturity of the saints, or for the fruitfulness of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You say, Brother Justin, what does all that mean? It just simply means that we have to go on. It means that we must forge on individually, and it means corporately we must forge on and go on, choosing not to stay stale and stagnant, not that we are, but that looking at yourself in the mirror every day, and then looking at yourself in the mirror of God's Word every day and asking, am I achieving all that God wants me to achieve? Am I being used of God in the church? And so he talks about, in essence, the perfect church. And listen, the perfect church in the sense of a mature church. And Paul is getting at that there is and can be a mature church, not perfect far as sinless perfection, but perfect in maturity. Perfect in the sense that the church is operating out of love and operating out of their gifts, and they're choosing to move from milk to meat. We were talking the other day, me and Brother Jack, just spiritual things and individually and corporately. And I said to Brother Jack, I said, you know, sometimes we make it hard to understand, you know, what our spiritual gifts are and how we can serve in the church and what we're to do in life. I said, but you know, it really just boils down to this. And I said, Brother Jack, when you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you are fully yielded to the Lord, what is it that you like to do the most? And he told me some things. I said, you know, the same for me. When I'm in my Bible and I'm praying and I'm going after God like I should, I said, I want to stand up and preach the Word of God. That's what I want to do. But guess what I don't want to do when I'm not in the Word and I'm not praying and I ain't going after God? Listen, I want to be a Jonah. And that's the truth this morning. That's the truth. And I want to ask you a question, church. When you are in the Word and you are praying and you're going after God like you want to and should, what do you like to do for God the very most? And whatever it is you like to do for God the very most when you're going after God, that is what God wants you to do. It's not hard to understand. And so the question is, are we doing that? Are we going after God? Are we operating out of our spiritual gifts? When we come to church on Sunday, are we doing what we want to be doing? Or are we wanting to teach a class? Are we wanting to do something at Calvary? And listen, I'll go ahead and throw this out there. Somebody says to me after service, Brother Justin, you know, I enjoyed the lesson, the message, and God really spoke to my heart about doing something, and this is what I like to do. I welcome you to come to me, and we'll talk about it. Come to me. Let's talk about it, because we are a body of Christ, and we need to leave behind the elementary principles, that is, not disrespecting salvation and all those things, because they have their place in the church, but there is so much more of God we haven't embraced yet. What if the day comes where, I mean, we have to have a parking attendant out in the front on Sunday morning? How about that? That happened in days gone by, hadn't it? Now, I know once a year or once a week every year for a whole week we do that with Jubilee. But listen, it's only us that limits God. It's not God saying he's through with Calvary. And what does the Bible say? I believe it's in the Old Testament for sure, talking about limiting God, putting constraints on the Lord. This morning we see the writer of Hebrews back in chapter number 6. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. How many of us this morning desire to go on to fruitfulness? I mean, that ought to be all of our heart's desire. So he says, number one, leave some things behind. There's going to have to be a leaving of the comfort zones you enjoy behind and going after God and seeing what he has for you. Number two, it's building on the things that settled. He says, don't disregard these things in verse number 1 and 2. Don't disrespect these things. They have their place, but build on these things. We don't need to spend a lot of time rebuilding a foundation that's already settled and sure. We know what we believe concerning salvation and baptism and the resurrection, and they have their places, but we need to move on from that and use it as our foundation and go after God in a sense that we've never experienced him before. Building on the things that settled. We don't need another salvation. We don't need another resurrection. We don't need another church. We don't need new parents. We don't need a new marriage. Listen, build on the ones that you have if you know it's God that put it together. But then let me mention this and we'll be through. Building on the things that settled, leaving some things behind, and then number three, committing to the task given. Verse number three, the writer says, and this will we do if God permit. He said, we know what we have to do. We have to strive for maturity. We have to strive for perfection. Individually, we have to really go after God and reel and rock out of those ruts, knowing that we haven't received everything God wants us to receive. We have to leave some things behind. We need to leave behind those comfort levels. It's time to be on meat and off the bottle, off of milk. And it's time for us to build on the things that's already settled. And he said in verse number 3, we will do this. He says, and this will we do if God permit. And so he says in verse number 3, there is a definite commitment here. He said, we're going to do it. He said, we know about God this much. He said, but there is so much more we don't know about God and ministry. He says, and so with the help of the Lord, if God permits, if he infuses that desire and fans the flame of that desire, he says, we will do this. And I want to ask all of us this morning, do you desire to move on individually and corporately in your Christian life and your church? And if you do, will you commit to doing it? I'm not going to ask for any, not at this time, for any hands or any testimonies or a great altar call of the whole church, because I know it's the Lord that does the working and the Holy Spirit that does the moving, but I believe that we have some work to do. God is blessing and God is honoring and God is bringing new members to us. But what about the future down the road to sustain what we have now? That's the question. So if they want to come with a verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we gave it to your church, Lord, how you gave it to us. Something to chew on this afternoon, Lord. And that is moving on. Going forward. Father, the scriptures tells us to go on unto maturity. Go on to perfection. Father, I pray that you would start with me and help me, Lord, to commit to going on to maturity. Excuse me. And then corporately, Lord, leading in such a way that we're going on to maturity. We're respecting the past and the history of this church and all of the great things that was done down through the years of this church. And Father, your blessing even now, and we celebrate that. We're excited about that. But God, we need some sustenance down the road to sustain us. Help us, Lord, as a church to focus on moving from milk to meat. desiring to be sustained longer so we can weather the storms of life longer and stay in the ministry longer, going after you longer, and not so easily apt to throw in the towel or loosen our efforts. Lord, now is high time. Lord, our redemption is drawing nigh and Jesus is coming. Lord, help us have our hand to the plow and no looking back. Someone said one time, well, it's hard. Well, it's not harder. Listen, it's much harder in a day of sin, not knowing Jesus, the way the transgressor is hard. This is a blessing to serve God. This morning, Lord, I pray that we would all commit in our hearts to just move on, whether it's by large strides or little steps, as long as we're moving on, then we're doing your perfect will. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, and if you need to come, you come and do business with the Lord as we sing.
Just
anybody else? Now's the time to respond. Do you want to move on? No one's pointing fingers this morning. We're all here to help. Anybody else? Well, certainly the altar is not the final place you can go, but it is the most quickest, the first place you can go. I've said for the past few Sundays, of course I'm trying not to minimize, I wouldn't dare minimize the altar, but the best place, the first place you should go in any given service is directly to the altar, especially when God's speaking, because we have a tendency as humans to ignore that knocking. And then, you know, while we can always do business with God somewhere else, we may not hear that knocking so loudly as the time we leave. And so the best time to do it is when God's speaking. But we appreciate you being here this morning, and I hope you enjoyed the service. I hope you received some kind of light on your pathway as to what God is doing in your life. Meet with us this evening, choir practice at 5:30, and then evening service at 6 o'clock. And anything else? Good for now? Okay. All right. Please remember these that are going through times of pain, and Miss Glenda and others. Let's remember these as we're able to be here, there or not. All right. All hearts clear before we go. Brother Seelon, would you close us out in a word of prayer?